Bamidbar.
Devarim. Devarim. We're in Devarim, Parshas Ekev, chapter 8 in Devarim.
Thank you.
Okay. So let us begin. We're gonna read the parak, and then we'll take a look. Kol haMitzvah asher anochi mitzav chayom. This is part of Moshe Rabbeinu's swan song here, and he's giving his charge to the people. Kol haMitzvah asher anochi mitzav chayom tishmerun laasos. I'm just gonna put everybody on mute, and if you want to unmute yourselves and comment or ask a question, please feel free to do so. But this way, we don't have to worry about background noise. So, but again, feel free to unmute yourself to ask or comment at any time. Okay. Kol haMitzvah asher anochi mitzav chayom tishmerun laasos. Moshe says, all of the mitzvah, which basically means all of these mitzvos that I'm commanding you, you should do them. L'man tichyu u'revisem uvasem v'rishtem es ha'aretz, so that way you should live, you should prosper, you shall increase in many ways, and you will inherit the land asher nishpa l'Hashem avoseichem. So the Moshe Rabbeinu connects the observance of the mitzvos with the hold on the land of Israel. And now to the essential theme of this perek. V'zacharta es kol haderech asher holichecha Hashem Elokecha zer bayim shana bamidbar. I want you to remember that how Hashem took you through the desert these 40 years. Lema'an anoscha l'nasoscha l'adas asher bilvavcha tishmar mitzvos simlo. Very strange thing. It says, I want, you know, don't forget to do the mitzvos. And while I'm reminding you, remember all that Hashem did is He took you out of Egypt for 40 years, which is good. But the second part of this pasuk is a little bit more complicated. Lema'an anoscha, He took you out and He drove you through the desert to cause you to suffer. L'nasoscha, to test you. L'adas es asher b'levavcha, to know what is in your heart. Hashishmor mitzvos avim lo, would you observe the mitzvos or not? So that doesn't really sound like a very inspirational kind of statement. You know, to the first half of the pasuk is, remember all that Hashem did for you. The second half of the pasuk, and He took you out to give you a shmeis, it doesn't quite sound as inspiring. So we're going to get back to this and try to understand what is this linasoscha that the suffering and trials that God put us through. Pasuk gimel vayancha vayirivecha vayachilcha saman. Furthermore, Hashem caused you to suffer and he caused you to be hungry, and then He gave you the man. Asher lo yadata v'lo yada unavosecha, which neither you nor your forefathers knew before you. It was a great nes. Laman hodiacha, kilo alalechem levado yechia ha'adam. So that way you should know that not on bread alone shall man live. Ki al kol motzafi Hashem yechia ha'adam. So you should understand that everything comes by the word of Hashem. Okay, so we go back to an important point over here. That we remember all that Hashem did, so we have a God consciousness and an awareness. Furthermore, your feet didn't wear out, your clothing didn't wear out all these 40 years. The people in the shmata business had a tough time because nobody was buying. Viadata im levavecha, and through this process, pasukei, you should know in your heart, ki kasher yaser ishes b'no Hashem Elokecha miyasraka, that just as a parent disciplines their child and punishes their child, it is in that vein that Hashem caused you, caused or causes you any type of yisurin. And now, all of this is about Hashem testing and our faith and remembering Hashem. And now the pasuk, the parak veers off. V'shamartas mitzvos Hashem Elokecha, you have to observe the mitzvos, l'aleches bidrachav l'yirosa, so that way you walk in His path and you fear Hashem. I would put this pasuk in parentheses. Ki Hashem Elokecha miviyacha al eretz tova. Now when Hashem will bring you to the good land, eretz nachle mayim ayonos tomos yotzim babika, all these wonderful traits of the land of Israel, eretz chitasa ora v'gefen teinav rimon, a land of wheat and barley and wine and dates and pomegranates and olives and all good things, Eretz asher lo mimiskenus lo tochal ba'lechem, a land where you will eat bread without poverty. In other words, things are going to be great. You will lo sechzar kol ba'ed, nothing will be lacking. Eretz asher avaneha barzel umehariha tachtsov nechoshes, a land whose mountains you will mine copper. In other words, it's rich. So remember, all of this, when you go into this land, then skip Pasuk 10 and go to Pasuk 11. Hishamer lecha pentishkach es Hashem Elokecha. When all this happens for you, don't forget about Hashem. And don't forget levil tishmor mitzvosav mishpatav v'chukosav. Don't forget about observing his mitzvos. Pentochal v'savato v'atim tovim tivinevi yashavta. Lest you eat and you get full and you build nice houses and you have cattle and sheep and money and gold and silver and all good things and all of plenty. Pasuk 14. V'ram levavcha v'shachachtes Hashem Elokecha. Your heart will become haughty and you will forget Hashem who took you out of Egypt from the land of slavery. So our psukim really here in this parak seem to be marching along a very specific theme, which is, don't forget Hashem. A lot of good things Hashem did for you, even some tough things Hashem did for you, they're all for your good. And don't forget about this, because this is what's going to hold you fast to the tradition. And let's read the last three psukim of the parak. Hamolichacha b'amidbar, he recaps. God who took you through the desert, Hagadol v'hanora nachash sarav v'yakrav tzimaon asher in b'mayim. He took you through the land of this parched desert, a land full of scorpions and all types of dangerous things. God took you right through it. Hamotzi l'chamayim mitzur chalamash, gave you water from a rock. Hamachil chaman, gave you man in the desert. That again, asher lo yida'u chayov asecha, recaps this point. L'man anoscha l'man asosecha l'heitivcha b'acharisecha, in order to cause you some pain and in order to test you, all for your benefit in the end. V'yamarta b'ilvavecha, lest you say in your heart, kochi v'otzem yodi asali asachai elazeh, you know, I made this, I did this. Lest you do that, v'zachartas Hashem elokecha, ki Hashem hu anosin lecha koach lasos chayel. Remember Hashem, he's the one who gave you the strength, he's the one who gave you all of this. L'man hakim ez briso asher nishbala v'secha kayom hazeh, on account and in order that you will uphold his covenant. So in our perek here, perek ches, we have a very clear and striking theme with two aberrant psukim. The clear thing is all about remembering Hashem. He tested you. You came through with flying colors. You are strong, and Hashem did all these wonderful things for you. Hashem did these harsh things for you. But everything here is for your benefit. So remember all that. And when things are really good, continue to remember it, so that way you don't go down the path of arrogance and pride and leave Hashem. And that's the theme of the parak. But there are two strikingly aberrant psukim. I think that they are pasuk vav, v'shamartas mitzvos Hashem Elokecha, observe the mitzvos of Hashem, and follows in his way. Now, that would be fine if that were the end of this perek. I would even say it would be fine if it were at the beginning of this perek. But it is at the beginning of this perek. Kol ha-mitzvah asher anochi mitzavcha tishmeru la'asos. God says at the beginning, observe all the mitzvos. So it's not clear to me why in the middle here of these of this perek we all have, all of a sudden have again v'shamarta, observe the mitzvos. And then, in the middle of, we continue with our theme, and we again have a strikingly aberrant pasuk. V'achalta v'savato v'erachta. You will eat, you will become full, and you will bless Hashem, the mitzvah of birchas hamazon. So, the question which I would like to address here tonight is, these two psukim seem out of place, I think. Birchas Hamazon, and certainly Birchas Hamazon. I mean, that's just like out of left field. You know, there are a lot of mitzvahs in the Torah. All of a sudden, you have to tell me about the mitzvah of Birchas Hamazon. And the first, and the Pasuk Vav, V'shamartes mitzvos Hashem aleches bedrachav liyiroso. You shall observe the mitzvos. Now, you could argue that there's sort of like a beginning, middle, and end here. A nice bookends. At the beginning of the parak, he says, observe the mitzvos. In the middle of the parak, he says, observe the mitzvos. And then at the end of the perek, he sort of says, observe the mitzvos, but not really. So if this were like a structure, beginning, middle, and end, we're missing the end. So the first opening part of the perek, I get. I have no problem with that opening pasuk. Observe the mitzvos, and in that light, remember all this stuff, so that way you continue to observe the mitzvos. But what are those two psukim in the middle? One generally about observing mitzvos, and then one specifically about birkas ha-mazon. So in order to answer these questions, I would like to generally look at the test, which is mentioned over and over again in this parak, and that is the quote-unquote test of the man. I want to take a look at the Hashem gave us the man, leman linasoscha, in order to test you. So I want to understand the test of the man a little bit. I want to understand generally the concept of a test in Judaism by drawing our attention back to Avram Avinu and the grand Nisayon of Akedas Yitzchak. And then bring it back here to, answer, hopefully provide a thought for our essential question. How do we understand these two aberrant psukim in Perek Ches? So I want to start with just sort of a side point, but maybe not exactly a side point. I'm going to share my screen with you. Hold on. Let's see here. Share screen. Okay. Optimize. Okay. I don't know how to share it in a way so it's like a split screen. Esther, you know how to share this so it's a split screen? Hold on one second, folks. You know how to share it so it's a split screen, like...
I'll share it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, if you don't know, this is fine.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, okay. All right, we'll have to... we'll do it this way. It's just I can't see your faces and see the screen at the same time.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So this is from Yalkut Yehuda. Yalkut Yehuda talks about our pasuk of the chalta v'savata v'erachta, and he cites a statement of Chazal about the importance of being humble and not being prideful. Is what he says. Ki hasiba lagasus haruachi, the cause for a person being prideful, ki bishasha adam magia la ashirus, when a person becomes wealthy and plentiful, lerachavas yadayim, hutola ki rechush lo kol eila al yide kocho va'otzem yado. It is a fact of life that psychologically and experientially speaking, very often when people are successful, they attribute their success entirely to the sweat of their own brow. Uvazeh hu kofer b'hashkachas hamakom, and this implicitly is a denial of God's divine providence in the world. Because if I'm saying it's my strength in my hand which is causing my success, then I'm making no place for God in the equation. And that is, kimishu ma'amin shekol ze baliyado machmas birchas Hashem, somebody who believes that everything that he has comes from Hashem, or she has comes from Hashem. Ein lo b'mal hizkos. So what are you going to be prideful about? I won the lottery. I'm going to be prideful that I won the lottery. I'm not such a chacham. I won the lottery. Everything comes from Hashem. Hashem gave me a blessing. So. But if I think kochi votzem yadi that it's all the sweat of my brow and my talent and my wisdom, then that leads to denial of Hashem, kfira b'Hashem, and this makes sense. Therefore, why the achalta v'savata v'erachta is in this parak over here, because if this parak is all about remembering Hashem, so we want to remember Hashem. Specifically, when we are fat, right? When times are good, and we have every reason to pat ourselves on the back and say how great I am. So that's why, at least I think this is entirely consonant to explain our pasuk here. When things are really good, remember to bless Hashem. This isn't a detail which is randomly inserted into the perek. It is a particular mitzvah which accords with and reflects the whole theme of the perek. But let's go on, because Jews can never have it too good. So he says, if you're a person is, if a person wants to deal with his pride, he has to remember that it's not kochi ve'otzem yadi. And this is, and to remember that everything comes from Hashem. However, he says, Yeshod ofan yoser noach she'efshar la'adam lavo mizeli de'gasus haruach. There's another way that a person can be prideful. You know how? Hagam kishiyamin ki akol hu machmas birchas Hashem. If he believes that everything comes to him from God. So you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. If you forget, if you say that kochi ve'otzem yadi, you're stuck. If you say everything comes from Hashem, you're stuck. So, what are you going to do? So what does it mean that if you believe that everything comes from Hashem, that also leads to pride? Why does that lead to pride? It says, Hagam kishiyamin ki akol hu machmas Hashem, v'hu sheyachshov, bottom line over here, v'hu sheyachshov bevadai hu bal mitzvos umasim tovim. If a person says to himself or herself, look, I have a beautiful home, I have a wonderful, I have a wonderful family, I have good health, I have plenty of money stored up in the bank, everything is going swimmingly in my life, it all comes from Hashem, must be that I'm a big tzaddik, because I get all of Hashem's blessings. So if a person believes that everything comes from Hashem, that can also lead to a prideful way of thinking. Ulekach, and therefore, matzachen, he could think to himself that I have God's grace because I'm the world's biggest tzaddik. Left hand column over here, where my cursor is. Haynu she'en lecha litlo she'yesh lecha lecha l'apacho z'chusim atzmiim. Rather, what should a person do? A person shouldn't say to themselves, oh, I'm the world's biggest tzaddik, which is why I get all these blessings. Ela kol ela hema bizchus avos. They come to me by the merit of my forefathers. B'chdei lahakim es briso asher nishba lavosecha v'ein lecha mishalcha klum.
Really, this is all just winning the lottery in a certain sense. Everything comes from Hashem, and if I got it, it's not because I am the world's greatest righteous person, but it is because of the fact that that I have the merit of my forebears. So maybe this explains the other apparently aberrant pasuk. Right in the middle, we said v'shamarta es mitzvos Hashem Elokecha laleches bidrachav uliyira oso. Right, it's one, on the one hand we have the mitzvah of birchas hamazon to remind us that when times are good and plenty, that we should remember it's not by my wisdom and by my skill that I'm successful. On the other hand, I have to remember that everything is a blessing from God. But even as everything is a blessing from God, v'shamarta es mitzvos Hashem Elokecha laleches bidrachav liyiraso, you have to observe God's mitzvos and go in His ways liyirah oso, to have an awe and reverence of Hashem. That is to say, to understand that everything comes from Hashem, but everything comes from Hashem doesn't mean that I am great. Everything comes from Hashem should lead me to a sense of awe and reverence, not a sense of pride. So these two psukim, I think with the understanding of the Yalkut Yehuda, which we just read, can be understood in that way. But I would like to broaden the picture a little bit, and let us take a look at a couple of classical Mefarshim. So I'm going to pull up on the screen. Okay. Here we go. Just a second. Okay. I'll make this a little bit bigger. Okay. So So what is the Nisayon? So as I said, I want to go back and I want to look at this in a little bit of a broader framework over here, and share with you the idea of the test of the man, as well as Nisayon test generally, and then go back to our question to understand these two psukim. So we'll start.
The screen didn't switch,
okay?
Yeah, you maybe it's under behind.
How about now?
It's coming up something. Yeah.
Okay, you have it? Okay. Okay. So the Rashbam and others say the following. We'll see it in the Chizkuni, but the Chizkuni is not the first to say it. This comes from Chazal. Right here, I'm going to try to make it a little bigger for you. Okay, the Chizkuni says, what was the test of the man? The test of the man, where is it here? Here, right over here, where I'm putting my cursor. Vayarivecha shelo nasan lecha man ela dvar yom biyomo. That God only gave the man on a daily basis. There were no reserves in the bank. V'zeo vayarivecha. She'eno dome mishiyesh lo pas pesalo l'mishe'en lo pas pesalo. You cannot compare somebody who has bread in their cabinet to somebody whose cabinet is bare. In other words, Hashem gave them food every day, but every day they ended the day with a bare cabinet. And that was the Nisayon, according to Chazal. The Nisayon was, their test was, you know, could they have faith in Hashem without having reserves in the bank? It's not a simple thing, as unfortunately too many of us are experiencing now in the coronavirus, where people are not able to work and they're living from check to check, and they're not getting a check, and all of a sudden, you know, it's not so easy. As much as it wasn't so easy before, it becomes even more difficult now. So they lived day to day, not check to check. And there were no reserves. There were no reserves in the bank. That was the test. The test of the man was to see. So that was the test. What was the purpose of that test? So the Torah says the purpose of that test was to demonstrate, to make them stronger. Vayancha vayarivecha leman hodiacha. The pasuk said, in order to show you the important principle that you live by God's word, you don't live, simply by the on bread. Okay. However, you don't have it in front of you. But the Baal HaTurim says that leman hodiacha, that what is the man going to? If this is the test of the man, what is the man supposed to provide to you? What's the goal of that test? So the Baal HaTurim says you don't have it in front of you. Milamed sheba achilas haman nitan lahem deya. The consumption of the man gave them wisdom, gave them knowledge. So what is this wisdom? What's the knowledge that is being given to them? So I would argue that it's whatever they're supposed to get out of this test. It's the experience of the test which is enlightening them. It's not like it's some type of magical cookie. You eat the cookie and now you're endowed with wisdom. It's through the process of the man that they are endowed with a dea, with wisdom. So Rashbam says it's pas pesalo, that a person learns to appreciate and rely on Dvar Hashem and realize that with all our work and all our hard effort, at the end of the day, it has to be blessed by Hashem to succeed, and not if it's not, it won't succeed. The Sephorno, on your page here, on the left-hand side, says Lenasoscha, the test, Im tasu ritzono behasikcha lechem v'simla, shelo b'tza'ar. The test is sort of the opposite of what the Chizkuni just said. It's not that, you know, to live in difficulty. It's the fact that they had no difficulty at all. They woke up in the morning, and every day there was bread for them. They didn't have to till the ground. They didn't have to go to the store. They didn't have to make a living. They didn't have to do anything in order to get their basic needs taken care of. That was the test. Let's go back to our psukim in Akev, right? Remember that when times were tough, you know, Hashem did it for your well-being. And when times are good, well, that's also a test. To make sure, when times are good, the test is to make sure that you don't forget that Hashem is behind it all. So, and this is reflected here in these two, you know, approaches to the man. If the Chizkuni is saying that it's, you know, people were living day to day, and that was tough, the Sforno is saying they were living the high life. They didn't have to go to work. And still, can they still serve Hashem? Or will they forget Hashem? And just walk away from it. Okay, so that's the Chizkuni and the Sforno. Take a look at the Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar argue. Whoops, sorry. Kli Yakar. Here, the Kli Yakar says. One second. I have to move your faces to the other side of the screen here. We got to go up one more page. There we go, Kli Yakar. Bottom of your page. Says the Kli Yakar. Bottom here where I'm putting my cursor. Kihu Lashon Haramas Nes. When it says that Hashem tested them, it doesn't mean just that Hashem tested them. The word Nes means a standard, a flag, right? When you go to war, you have a standard bearer, you have a shield bearer, somebody in front that, you know, that holds up the flag of the army. So the Jewish people are going to function as the Nes, as that standard bearer for Hashem. How so? And he gives a couple of examples here in Tehillim, and in that's what the word Nes means. Look at the left side of your page here, second line, Kach Ratzah. God wanted the heart of the Jewish people to be known to all the nations of the land. In other words, the people of the world were going to see the presence of Hashem through the Jewish people one way or the other. Im tishmor mitzvosav, if the Jewish people follow the mitzvos, and the Jewish people have extraordinary success, more than other nations. They will have a place to rest, vilomar, and to say, why weren't the other nations blessed this way? Yashiv lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond. Ki mi goy asher yamod b'nisayon kemohem. The fact that the Jewish people lived up past this great test of the man in the desert, so now they are blessed tremendously, and the world will see Hashem through the blessings of God to the Jewish people. Ki holchu achare Hashem be'eretz luzruah. They came. They walked after God into a desert. V'chein lahefach, and Hashem's presence will be seen with the Jewish people in the opposite manner as well. If they fail the test, im chas v'shalom yuchotim. If the Jewish people walk away from God and are sinners, v'shalach Hashem b'chas ha'me'era, and God will bring a calamity upon the Jewish people. Yomru kol agayim al ma'asa Hashem kachal aretz hazo. So people will say, what happened here? The yashiv lahem, and the response will be, lifi shelo hayu shleimim im Hashem, because the Jewish people were not whole and complete with God. V'zehu shenemar l'nasoscha. And that's what it means that God did this to you, l'nasoscha. It's not really to test you, the people. It's really, will the Jewish people fulfill their mission or not? If the Jewish people fulfill their mission, then they will be a nace. They will be a standard bearer. The whole world will be able to see God's presence through the blessings of the Jewish people. And if calamity comes to the Jewish people, then the whole world will be able to see Hashem's presence in that way as well. So the Kli Yakar has a different view here of the nace. Okay, so this is looking at nace from a very limited scope. What was the nace of the man? Pas Besalo, having faith in God every day. The Sforno, being able to stay fast and hold fast to God during the good times when things are very easy. I don't have to work. My clothing and my food are provided for, and I still am close to Hashem. I still observe His mitzvos. That's the Sforno. And the Kli Yakar says, no, you got it all wrong. This is about the Jewish people representing God in the world. Okay. The Ibn Ezra comments, you don't have it in front of you, but let me read you what the Ibn Ezra says. The Ibn Ezra says, Peirashti b'sefer Breishis. I've already explained this in Sefer Breishis. Okay? So I'm not going to tell it to you now. So let's take a look at what the Ibn Ezra tells us in Sefer Breishis. And by Avraham Avinu. So Hashem tests Avraham. And this is now talking a little bit about what a test is in general. And some of this, I'm sure, is known to us. But I think that there's some insight here as well. So the Ibn Ezra says, Yesh omrim, ki hasamis tachas shin vahahe tachas ha'alef. The word nisa is spelled nun samech he. You see, I put my cursor here, nun samech he. So Ibn Ezra says there are some people who say that this word is really nasa, nun sin aleph, that the samech is instead of the sin, and the he is instead of an aleph. Elokim nasa es Avraham. God carried Avraham. He brought Avraham. But, that's a beautiful homiletical idea over here, that through this whole story of Avraham and Yitzchak and the Akedah, that God sort of held Avraham on his shoulders. God nasa es Avraham. And that's for a nice drusha that we could say in shul. But it's not the pshat at all. And the Ibn Ezra says, V'tam kol ha-parsha yachishem. The whole rest of the parsha would undermine that idea, because Avraham is getting the worst possible test in the world here. How can you say that God was carrying Avraham? I mean, this is terrible what was happening to him, that he has to sacrifice his son, and he doesn't know that it's a test. Rak nisa kimashma'o. Ibn Ezra says, it means what it means, what it means. God tested Avraham. V'anshei shikul hadas amru, and people of balanced thought said, ki adeos heim shtayim. Ha'achas das ha'osid b'terem heyoso, v'hasheni das hayesh hanimtza. V'ze perush nisa. That there is to know what will happen in the future, and there is to understand what is present in front of us. And that is what it means, nisa. Nisa is to know, is either to know what will happen as a consequence of the test, or to know what is in front of us, to understand the greatness of the person who's in front of us. The Ibn Ezra continues. Second. Let's see, where's the rest of the Ibn Ezra? Hold on. Okay, looks like I didn't catch you the rest of the Ibn Ezra. All right, so let me just finish the Ibn Ezra for you. So the Ibn Ezra says, one other thought. The Ibn Ezra says, let me just open up in my Chumash. I'm sorry you don't have it there right in front of you. Okay, hold on. The Ibn Ezra says, I'm sorry?
Have you done the screen?
Yeah, no, that's just the first part, but I didn't give you the end of the Ibn Ezra. So the Ibn Ezra says that on one hand, that it's in order to show that it was a test, and the purpose of the test is liten schar, to give a great reward if Avraham Avinu should pass. Okay, so that's one idea of the test, liten schar. Number two is to demonstrate to everybody around how the greatness of the person. And number three is the one which he rejects, is that somehow Hashem was carrying Avraham. So, you know, it could very well be that the idea there is that, you know, when God tests you, God is not thrusting you aside, but God is putting you on his shoulders. That if he tests you, the test is to understand that the challenge comes from God, and God is giving you the strength to get through it. But again, I think that's more of a homiletic idea. So, but the Ibn Ezra ultimately says that a test is really either about getting schar, getting reward for passing a difficult test, or to demonstrate to others the greatness of the person in front of you. Okay, that's the Ibn Ezra. Now take a look at the. Let's see if I have it here. The Chizkuni. So the Chizkuni says, here. Whoops. I'm sorry. Hold on a second. Yeah. Actually, before the Chizkuni, let's take a look at the Sforno on the left-hand side over here. The Sforno says, Nisas Avraham, God tested Avraham. Kiven shiyeh befoal ohe v'yareh kimo shahaya b'koach. The purpose of the test is in order to bring out from the potential into the real world. That until now, Avraham's great potential of emunah and yiras Hashem was all potential. But by putting him through this test, it forces him to bring the potential out into the actual. And in this way, Avraham becomes more like his creator, more like Hashem, and his essence of his neshama comes out and is expressed in the world. So the idea of a test is, you know, if you have ever had a personal trainer, you go to the gym and they push you to your limits, and then they push you beyond your limits. That's the idea of a test. The test is that you should bring out from your potential. It shouldn't just remain potential, but it should come out in the practical, actual world. So that's what this Sforno says. The idea of a test is to bring min ha-koach el ha-poal. And the Ramban says something similar. Sorry, guys. Every time I hit a button here...
Could you make it a little larger, Rabbi?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Okay, is that better? You want to move?
Good.
Hold on, I can make it bigger.
My eyes are blurry from all the zooming I'm doing.
Okay, this is, I think, as much as I can do it. Okay, so the Ramban says over here, Right on your page, Valokimi says Avraham, Inyan Hanisayon Hula Dati, Bavor Hayot Masa Adam Rishus Muchletas Biado, Imirtse Yase Vimlo Yirtse Loyase, Ikari Nisayon Mitzad Hamenuse, Aval Hamenase is Barach Yitzabe Lahotia Dover Minakoach El Hapoel, Lios Loschar Maise Tov, Loschar Lev Tov Bilvad. So the Ramban combines the two ideas that we've seen up until now. He says the purpose of the test is, on the one hand, to bring a person their potential out into the world, and in doing so, to give them reward. So that's the test for the Ramban. The Chizkuni, right on your page here, the Chizkuni says a fascinating thought here. I have to move my screen around here. One second. Says the Chizkuni, Halokim nisaz Avraham kintro vitziaro, lashon nasosa mesashem, that God caused Avraham pain and suffering. Right? you can see right over here. Why did Hashem cause him pain and suffering? The Nisayon, says the Chizkuni, is not about bringing out potential. It's not about demonstrating his greatness to other people. And it's not about helping him to have more reward. It's actually about a punishment. Why? What's the Nisayon? Nitga'eta baben shenasati lecha. You were prideful about the child that I gave you. Lahachris bris beinecha uvein bnehem. You made a treaty, Avraham, between yourself and Avimelech, for generations to come. V'ata lech v'haleu le'ola. And now, because you were prideful in the child that I promised to you, when you become prideful in the blessings that I give you, I'm going to remind you that this is that this is not your pride. V'ata lech v'haleu le'ola, and that's why Hashem told him to bring it, to bring Yitzchak as a sacrifice. And then you'll see how much your covenant that you have with these foreign nations is going to do for you. If your son is dead, there's going to be no covenant between the next generation and the generation of the of the surrounding nations. So the Chizkuni says something really fascinating, that the idea of the Nisayon here was actually a punishment, if you will, for the pride that Avram Avinu perhaps was showing or experiencing in his son Yitzchak. Okay, so again, so we have the idea of the Ibn Ezra that it's God carrying the person, the idea that it is in order to give reward, the idea that it is in order to demonstrate to others the greatness of the person, or the idea that it is to bring out the potential into the actual. All those are wonderful, except for one case. Those are all good, amazing qualities or purposes that one could suggest in a Nisayon. I want to give you one other idea here of a Nisayon from Rabbeinu Bachya. It's a little long, but we'll read it together. Rabbeinu Bachya says the following. I'm sorry, Barbara, I'm going to have to make this a little bit smaller so I can fit it on the page. Sorry about that. Okay. Okay. So Rabbeinu Bachya says that, let's see here, that Avraham Avinu was an extraordinary tzaddik. So we'll start from right here. The Ein Safek, three lines before the next paragraph. The Ein Safek, ki haya nosein es kol hon beis ol babas Hashem yisparach. It is true that Avraham Avinu would dedicate his time, dedicate his money, and even dedicate his life to Hashem, but the Nisayon that he was about to experience was the Nisayon of all Nisyonos. Aval b'inyan zeh shel ha'akeda, hera Avraham tokef avaso b'Hashem yisparach shayse chazaka v'yazah. With the Akedah, Avraham demonstrated a love for Hashem, which was beyond anything. It doesn't compare to dedicating to Hashem with your time and with your money and with your life. Because lemisha moser atzmo lemisa, a person gives up in their own life, okay. Kiroi hayar Avraham ilu hayalom mea gufin. Had Avraham had 100 lives, he would have given them up in order to protect his son Yitzchak. You know, a person might give up their own life, but what does it mean to give up their child? It's like not even conceivable. Aval pe'ula zolo haisa kishara pe'ulos. What Hashem had asked of Avraham was not even comparable to anything. Hanisayon hazeh lo haya kishara hanisyonos. Ein hateva yachol asovlo. You can't even begin to comprehend it. Let's skip a little bit over here. After all these years, he had a child that he longed for, And now it's all going to go by the wayside. And this is the point that I want to get to in the Rabbeinu Bachya. Zehu Sheyitzchak. You see it over here? I'm putting my cursor. The Zehu Sheyitzchak. It says, Zehu Yitzchak Shehaya ben Shloshim v'sheva shana bizman hakeda. Yitzchak was 37 years old. V'ti kafel yoser v'yoser k'shi yitzuva lishchot ha-ben hazeh hu ba'atzmo bi'adav. V'yav azos ein davar ba'olam ra'ui la'ovra. The Avram, mitoch shaya shala in be'amuna, because Avram was complete with his face, with his faith, im heyos haflagas avasol Yitzchak, hikir ki ra'ui shetiskaber havas Hashem alavas Yitzchak. He understood, and he was able to, that his love for God would overcome his love for Yitzchak. Ulechozek koach haflagas avas chazaka zo shaysalo l'Avram b'shem Yisparach, haysa nakala be'enav avas Yitzchak. So in this comparison over here, his love for Yitzchak was relatively lighter than his love for God. Now, here's the kicker. Ubikesh l'shachto achar shlosha yamin. He was requested after 3 days, shenemar lo hadibur, after 3 days. Ki ilu yasa came befeta pitom, had Hashem asked him just on the spot, Haisa pu'ula so b'mihiruso behala. So maybe in the excitement of the moment, in the confusion of the moment, maybe he would have done it. Aval kishahaya achar mahalach shlosha yamim kvar nase b'yishuv das ve'etza. But after 3 days, no one can say that what Avraham Avinu did was out of confusion or out of not thinking clearly, or just out of a momentary explosion of faith in Hashem. No. He thought about it, he considered it, he reflected upon it, and he did it anyway. And that is reflected in what it says in Bereishis Rabbah, our concluding paragraph over here. Lama biyom shlishi v'lo biyom rishon v'lo biyom sheni. The Medrash says, why is it on the third day, not on the first or second day? So nobody could accuse Avram Avinu of having done this with haste. So he makes the point here. This was done with consideration and carefulness. In other words, this is a test that went over time in order for people, for Avraham to really demonstrate what the test was meant to demonstrate. And in this case, it was meant to demonstrate a love and commitment to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, so the idea of a test here is an idea to demonstrate something about the person to himself, to demonstrate it to others, to bring out from the potential, to give schar. Perhaps, in some cases, it's an onesh. But leaving that one aside, we go back to our story in Akev. And our story in Akev is all about remembering Hashem. Remember Hashem, says the Pasuk. Remember God. When things are bad, you have to remember God. When things are bad, when things are good, you have to remember Hashem. But we have these two aberrant psukim in the middle. Right, we have the two aberrant psukim that are questioning, that don't seem to be part of the rest of the parak. We have the pasuk of Vishamartas mitzvos Hashem. We have the pasuk of Yachalta v'savata uveirachta. And I would suggest that we answer our question. We end where we started, with the Yalkut Yehuda, says that really what I believe the Torah is telling us here is that all of life is a test. And all of the mitzvos are a test. There's no such thing as a test in the bad times or a test in the good times. Everything is a test. Even doing the mitzvos correctly is a test, right? That, like the Yalkut Yehuda said, if a person thinks to themselves, kochi votzim yadi, no, that's terrible. He has to think everything comes from God. Now that you think everything comes from God, that's also a test, right? Everything is a test. And I think that's why these two psukim are inserted in this perek about remembering Hashem and not allowing ourselves to, to forget. Leman anoscha lenasoscha. It's all about the test. What's the idea of the test? That everything is a test. The pasuk of Birchas Hamazon is about being tested in the fat, in the times of fat and plenty. But and that's something which is readily understandable, I think, to us. But the other pasuk, v'shamarta es mitzvos Hashem Elokecha, to remember, to observe Hashem's mitzvos and to have awe and reverence for Him, that's the other kind of test. When you are observing Hashem, that too is a test. Every mitzvah is a test. Life is a test in all of its manifestation. There is no such thing as a day without a nisayon. And what do we mean that it is no such thing with a day without a test? Well, it means, I think, the position that resonates most powerfully for me is the idea that every day is an opportunity for God to put us in a situation where our koach will be yotzei lefoal, where our potential has an opportunity through the engagements and encounters that we have with ourselves and with others to demonstrate, to bring out and demonstrate in a palpable way our capability, to bring it out from the potential and into the world of the actual. Every day is that. And every encounter holds the seed and the power of that in the moment. And it's not just in the moments where we think are naturally test worthy. You know, when a person is in a very bad situation or a person is in a very good situation, right? The people are in the desert and they have to worry about bread every day. That's a clear test. The people are in the desert and they don't have to worry about bread because it's coming every day. And they don't have to worry about their clothing because it's coming every day. It's growing with them. They don't have to worry about anything. Those are the obvious tests. The less obvious tests are all the tests in between those extremes. And I think that's why the psukim over here of Shamartes Hashem and Birchas Hamazon are inserted into this perek about remembering Hashem and the tests, in order to make the point that all of life is a test, all of life is an opportunity for us to bring our koach lefoal. And that's all I got for tonight. So if you have any comments or questions, I would be happy to entertain them.
Yes, I'm sorry I missed the first part.
Right. Judy, any thoughts? Alice? You can unmute yourself.
Okay. Could it be something as, you know me, I'm very pragmatic.
Yeah.
The fact that Birkat HaMazon is something, I mean, everybody's got to eat to live, right? So that's really a bracha that you're going to say a lot. I mean, maybe you don't see a rainbow every day and maybe you don't see something else, but that's just like the bracha that people probably say the most. So that's probably when you would be reminded the most, even if during the rest of your day you haven't had occasion to say a bracha, that you got to eat. So you're
going to
remember that it's thanks to Hashem.
Okay, I'll go with it.
Very pragmatic.
I like it. Judy?
Can I say something?
Judy first.
Somebody else that comes in. I was struck by just another phrase at the beginning, in Pasuk Bet. With that whole path, it makes sense without that. If Hashem is going to test to see if he's going to do the mitzvah or not do the mitzvah, but the letal Hashem will vavecha is for the person who's being tested.
Right, so the pasuk says he, that's pasuk gimel. He afflicted you, what?
Yeah, pasuk gimel.
Right, so he afflicted you so that, in order that you would, that to make you know that not by bread alone does man live, rather everything emanates from Dvar Hashem.
That's the
one I'm looking at. So, Pasuk Beis. You're looking at Pasuk Beis.
Yeah.
He tested you to know what is in your heart. So maybe it's for you to know what's in your heart.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Right, okay.
Rather than being tested for Hashem to see how you're going to believe in
Hashem. Right.
It's for you to know who you are, what your own everything is.
Right.
It sort of makes sense when you're saying everything is a test.
Right, okay. Perfect, beautiful. All right, Barbara, you wanted to say something?
Well, I don't have the Chumash in front of me, but I was just thinking to zoom in on the word visavata, that somehow that's a key word there. That, like what you were saying before, that it's a test more when things are going well for us. And sometimes that's when we don't reach out to Hashem.
Right.
And say, rather than when we're missing things, and that's when we call out to Hashem.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I think that is certainly in line with why, like we said at the beginning, V'chalta v'sevata v'rechta makes sense in the light of, remembering Hashem during the times of fat and plenty. Right. Okay. Linda?
Yeah. What hits me also with the benching, it says you shall eat and be satisfied. And in this day and age where food has been plentiful, people eat beyond satisfaction and gluttony gets to come in.
Right.
So we bless Hashem after we eat to be satisfied, because we eat to fuel our bodies, not to eat to be a glutton. And then we bless Hashem after that. And the month teaches us that we just have enough to portion for the day. We don't need to eat more than our portion.
Right.
And sometimes we overdo that and we hurt our bodies that way.
Right.
And if we take care of ourselves by not being the glutton, whether it be with power and here using food, we can bless Hashem with our full spirit and not be so full that we can't move.
Right. Okay. Okay. Anybody else? Any other questions? Larry, any comments? Nope. Okay. Okay, folks. So we'll call it for the evening. And for those of you who are interested, there's a Parsha Shir tomorrow at 11:45 a.m., our Bite of Torah, the weekly Bite of Torah. Tomorrow night, we have Professor Jeffrey Gurak will be giving a Jewish history lecture as part of our masterclass series tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Next Wednesday night will be Rabbi Beryl Wine. And the following Wednesday night will be Jonathan Sarna from Brandeis University. So look forward to seeing you all. Okay, have a good night, everyone. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Rabbi. Good night. Good night, everybody. Good night. Alice?
Yes.
I'm really sorry about your brother-in-law.
Oh.
No, I didn't hear.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
It was a horrible shock.
Is it your husband's brother?
No, it's his sister's husband.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.